I dreamed that I had died and gone to heaven. I stood just outside the eastern gate. The man from within said, "Have you been born again? And is your name written in the book of life? Please search the book again. I thought my name was there. I went to church on Sunday, though I never knelt in prayer. Please search the book again. It's too late now, I know. Please search the book again before you make me go." I told him all the deeds that I had done. I told him all the trophies I had won. But the man said to me, said, "Have you been set free? And is your name written in the book of life? Please search the book again. I thought my name was there. I went to church on Sunday, though I never knelt in prayer. Please search the book again. It's too late now, I know. Please search the book again before you make me go." Turned and left me standing there. I knew it was too late now for prayer. Oh, my sinner friend, if you want to make it in, your name must be written in the book of life. Please search the book again. I thought my name was there. I went to church on Sunday, though I never knelt in prayer. Please search the book again. It's too late now, I know. Please search the book again before you make me go."
It's a very thought-provoking song. It's very important that you know when you leave this life. Not if you leave this life. We're all going to exit this life one day. Every one of us. We all have the same appointment. And that appointment is with death. And that appointment must be kept. It's very important that we understand that after we leave this life, we enter into another life. It's a life that the Bible calls eternity. And where we will be in eternity will depend on the decision we've made with Jesus Christ in this life. Really doesn't matter how often you come to church. That's not going to get you to heaven. Now, I do believe if you're saved, you ought to be in church. But you don't go to heaven by going to church. It doesn't matter how many times you've been in a baptismal pool. You don't go to heaven by being baptized. You don't go to heaven by being a good person. Though I believe if you're saved, you ought to be a good person. I believe if you're saved, you ought to try to be a good person. If you're not saved, you ought to try to be a good person. Amen. You ought to do right. But we don't go to heaven by what we do. We were talking in Sunday school this morning. I tell you, our world is so mixed up, brethren. Our world is mixed up with this thing called religion. Can I tell you that pure religion is spoke of in the Scripture, and the Lord willing, we'll talk about that tonight. But don't you get confused with religion and relationship. There's a big difference. You see, religion is man's attempt to reach up to God. You're not going to do that. But relationship is where God reached down to man in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, had mercy on all of us. And by His grace, we can enter into a personal relationship with God's Son, Jesus Christ. You see, religion is do, 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 do. D-O, D-O, D-O. But relationship is D-O-N-E. When Jesus was on the cross, He said, "It is finished." It's finished. You say, "What must I do to be saved?" Well, you need to come to Christ. Realize you're a sinner. Repent. Turn. Be sorry for your sin. Realize that you've broken the holy commandments of God and that Jesus died in your place on that cross. Jesus died for no wrong that He had done, because He's never done any wrong. He died for your wrong and my wrong, your sin and my sin, and the sin of the whole world. Should have been me on that cross. But I'm glad that Jesus died in my place. In October the 26th, 1980, I recognized that, and I allowed Jesus to become my substitute, my sacrifice. You see, the blood that was shed back on that day was shed for me. But on October the 26th, 1980, I applied that blood to my heart and life. And as we have already sang about today, because the blood of Jesus has been applied, there has been cleansing. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. God has cleansed me of my sin. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, I'm not asking if you're a member of a church, not even this church. I'm not asking if you're a good person. You may be. I'm not asking if you do good things or if you've ever been in a baptismal pool or if you read your Bible. That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking upon the authority of God's Word, have you ever seen yourself as a sinner without God? Have you ever seen yourself under condemnation, the wrath of God, because of your sin? And have you ever realized that Jesus loves you? In that while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for your sin. He was buried. And thank God He rose again the third day. If you will recognize that and you will submit and yield to that and pray and ask God for mercy, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. And I pray that you will be. I thank God for those in our building today that are saved. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. This morning I want to talk to you about a subject that's very hard for me. Because I realize that there's people that I love that are probably in this place. There may be somebody in this place that is going to this place. I realize there's a world around me that is dying and going to hell. Hell is real. And sometimes I need God just to shake me and remind me that just as heaven is real, hell is real. And just like we who are saved and rejoice in the God of our salvation, that we're going to heaven because of what Christ has done for us, that there is a vast multitude of people, some in whom we face day after day after day, Some who live within a stone's throw, maybe some who live even within inside of our own home, that are not prepared to go to heaven. And if they die unprepared, they will go to this place that I'm going to talk to you about this morning. Brethren, hell is a reality. I'm not going to spend a lot of time this morning trying to convince you hell's real. Either you believe hell is real or you don't. Jesus, over 50 times in the Bible, spoke of and preached about hell. Jesus preached and talked about hell more than he did heaven. It's one of the most spoke of subjects that our Lord Jesus spoke of while he was here upon this earth, and that is recorded in God's Word. Hell is referred to in many ways. There's Sheol, and I could go through. There's Sheol, there's Hades, there's Tartarus, there's a bottomless pit, there's everlasting fire, there's Gehenna. Listen, and we could get into breaking down the Hebrew and the Greek, and we could get into all these specifics and particulars, but brethren, I just want to tell you this morning that if a man dies in his sin without God, he is going to go to hell. And that's all we need to know this morning. What more do we need to know that should motivate us to be a part of getting people to Jesus Christ? What more does God need to reveal to me and to you that would motivate us to warn people to flee from the wrath to come? It's real. It's real. And yet if we're not careful, we'll be lulled to sleep. We'll be lulled into a stupor. We'll get unconcerned. We'll go about our lives and we'll be more concerned about are our tires armor-alled more than we will the neighbor next door, that if they die, they're going to die in their sin and go to hell. I'm not saying you ought not have a clean car. I'm not saying that you ought not have nice clothes. I'm not saying that we ought not do things for ourselves. But God knows we ought to do something to warn lost people that hell awaits them if they die in their sin without Jesus. So Jesus gives us this account. It's a true account. I want you to notice some things that the Bible says here before we get into just three facts I want to give you about this place called hell. I want you to notice, first of all, that this man, there's two men in this scripture, but this man that is called the rich man, he did not go to hell because he was rich. Abraham may have been the wealthiest man, the richest man ever to live. He or Solomon, very wealthy men, very wealthy men. And yet both of them, as far as I can tell in my study of the Bible, are in heaven today. So riches don't keep you out of hell no more than riches get you into heaven. Riches don't take you to hell. Riches won't take you to heaven. So I want to make that very clear before I preach this message this morning. You can have a lot of what we know as this world's means and still walk with God and have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Number two, I want you to notice that this poor man, who is called a beggar, did not go to heaven because he was poor. Just like the rich man did not go to hell because he was rich, the poor man did not go to heaven or Abraham's bosom, paradise, because he was poor. Actually, if you will notice with me in verse number 22, for the last time, we're not going to do it today, but I encourage you to do it on your own. For the last time, these two men will be addressed as rich and poor, because something takes place to where riches and poverty no longer matter. And that's called death. Notice what happens in verse number 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died. Can I tell you, you'll never hear Lazarus referred to as the beggar from that verse on to verse number 31. After death, Lazarus' financial status, Lazarus' lot in life no longer mattered. It also says in verse number 22 that he was carried of the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried.
After that verse of scripture, you'll never find this man referred to as the rich man again. Why? Because death is the great equalizer. Whether you have a lot or whether you have a little, whether your name is in fame or whether no one knows who you are, where you are, God looks at what we have done with His Son, Jesus Christ. That will settle our place in eternity. As a matter of fact, there appears to be a complete reversal of roles as Abraham addressed this man in verse number 25. He said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest good things and likewise Lazarus evil things." What he is indicating there is that there's a role reversal. There's a change. Now that what these two experienced in life has taken different form in eternity. The things that I want to bring to your attention today is there's some things that we see in this account of when Jesus, it's like He pulled back the cover of hell and let us look in just for a few brief moments. I've read where William Booth, who founded the Salvation Army, and he trained missionaries. By the way, that's what I want to talk to you about today. What is our motive for missions? We have our missions. We had our missions revival. We raise money to help missionaries go to different areas of the world to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why do you do that, preacher? Well, there's a few reasons, but none more important. None more important than what I'm going to talk to you about today. We want to keep people out of hell. It's just that simple. I'm not going to hell. You say, now, preacher, you may. Oh, no. The blood of Jesus won't burn, brethren. Amen. I've been washed in the blood. I'm covered in the blood. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I've been born again. I'm going to heaven. I have been promised an eternal place in heaven. I've made my reservation. I punched my ticket. You hear? Going to heaven, amen. Not of any good that I have done, but because I have trusted what Christ has done, and you too can go. And every Christian ought to be finding people and saying, come go with me. Come go with me to this place called heaven. Amen. It's a wonderful place. You say, preacher, we've got so much here on this earth. Can I tell you, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. Oh, listen, if we could just get a glimpse of what heaven's like, we would lose our longing for the old things in this old lowland of sorrow. But then there's another vision we need to get to. And I'm glad that why John in Revelation chapter 21 and 22 kind of uncovers and shows us that heavenly city, that new Jerusalem, we can see what we're going to. Here in Luke 16, Jesus says, let me pull back this cover and show you what I saved you from. And let me show you what if you don't get serious about reaching people, what people all around you, they're going to go to this place, brethren. It's reality. It's very real. Hell. Hell. William Booth said, as I train men to go out in evangelism and missions, he said, if I had my way about it, I wouldn't even send them to theological seminaries. I would just uncover hell and let them take a glimpse for 5 minutes into hell. Then I'd send them out, and I know they would go out with a passion and an urgency to keep people from going to that awful place. We've lost our view. We've lost our vision. We've lost our burden. I'm looking for Dr. Thompson. Is he still in the service? Okay. Dr. Thompson said something this morning that is so true. He said, we live in a society of noise. Always got to have a TV or a computer or a radio or a cassette or, well, not cassettes anymore, but it tells you how outdated I am. CDs and Blu-rays, got to have all these things going. Got to have noise, noise, noise. Why? We're trying to drown out that still small voice of God's Holy Spirit. Our world is a place of noise. God said in Psalm 46, verse number 10, "Be still and know that I am God." Sometimes it does us just good to get alone and still away and just us and God. Let God minister to us and teach us and show us and prep us for this world that we're going out into. Let me give you a few things here. First of all, here if you'll notice in Luke chapter number 16, we have this account. And Jesus begins to give us some things about this account. And as I said, I'm not going to go into great detail to show you where hell is real. That it's factual. It's a real place. Jesus spoke of it over and over and over again. And each time that he spoke of it in the gospel accounts, he spoke of it in the same light. He warned. Actually, if you'll hold your place here in Luke and turn back just for a moment in Matthew chapter 13. Turn there if you would. Matthew chapter 13, Jesus speaking, had this to say about this place called hell. He said, now listen, he said, you don't want to go there. And he said, you don't want anybody to go there. We have began to use this word so loosely in our society. We have movies named with the word hell in it. There's songs titled with the word hell in it. There's songs written about going to hell like it's no big deal. Listen, we toss out that word in our day-to-day language. Those who allow filthy communication to spew from their mouth that comes from their heart, and they say to hell with this and to hell with that, and you go to hell. Listen to me. Hell is real. We ought not be using those kind of words. Hell is real. You would never want anybody to go to hell if you understood what hell is. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter number 13 and verse number 41. He said, "The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom." He said, but there's going to come a day. In verse number 41 there, he said in verse number 42 that they're going to be cast into the furnace of fire. Look, if you would, in verse number 50. He said again, he said in verse number 49, "So shall at the end of the world the angel shall come forth and sever the wicked among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Now notice what Jesus says here. "Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things?" Listen, he said, I want to make sure you understand people that reject God, that people who deny the gospel, that people who do not know Christ will die in their sin and go to hell. It doesn't matter what that weak-kneed, spineless preacher down the road may say. It doesn't matter what those that water down the book may say. Listen to me. It doesn't matter what other religions say. It doesn't matter what some false prophet says or false teacher. God said through Jesus Christ that those that die without Him will die in their sin and go to hell. Now it's real. It's real. He also said, if you look in Mark chapter number 9, he said, I want to tell you something, fellas. He said, this place is so terrible. You don't want to go there. He said, it's so terrible. Mark chapter 9, he said, it'd be better for you that if you begin to sever some of your limbs. You say, preacher, is that literal? Yes, it is literal. Notice what he says in Mark chapter number 9. We're in Mark chapter number 9, in verse number 43. Again, Jesus speaking said this. He said, and if thy hand, I'm in Mark's gospel, chapter 9, verse number 43. He said, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed and having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. For it is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet and to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes and to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It's real. Hell is real. It's a terrible place. We need to do whatever we can to keep people out of this place. You say, preacher, what can I do? Well, there's something that we can do. The Bible gives us a great responsibility. The Bible says we need to get involved in the program of God in helping to warn people of the wrath to come, in helping to share with people the good news that they don't have to die and go to hell, that the God of heaven loves them. Yes, we have broken God's holy law. Yes, we have offended God with our rebellious, sinful lifestyle. Yes, we are under the condemnation of God, but Jesus has come to take away that condemnation. And God in His love sent His Son to die for us. He was buried and He rose from the grave. And now if we will trust what God has done through Christ to reconcile man back to Himself, we can be freed from the condemnation of God. And not, amen, that is a hallelujah, amen. And not have to go to this awful place called hell. I want to ask you to turn back to Luke 16. Hell is real. They keep doing these surveys. I check sometimes these websites where I do surveys, and they keep doing these surveys. And sometimes in my soul, I just think, what's wrong with these people? But I tell you what's wrong with them. They're deceived. They're deceived. They say, well, you know, 65% of Americans believe in hell. Only 20% of people in Africa believe in hell. 35% of people in Great Britain believe in hell. Can I tell you something? That means nothing to me. It don't mean nothing to you. 100% of the people in hell believe in hell. See, that's what ought to matter to you. Everybody that has died and gone there believes in it. And I'm going to show you from the Bible a man that didn't believe in it before he went. But when he got there, he began to believe. But unfortunately, it was too late. But he sends back a message. And the message today that I want to give to you is a message from hell. It ought to ring true in our dreams every night. As we lay down to sleep and put our head upon our pillow, we ought to hear the words of this man. Please, please, go tell them. Go tell them. Send them. Send them. Listen, it shouldn't be a preacher getting up. We ought to send them. It shouldn't be just that a missionary gets up here and says, hey, send me, send me. My family and I want to go tell them. Those things are great. God says, listen, God says, go, go, go. Amen. Sin, sin, sin. So send I you. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. So we have the commandment from above. Go, go, go. The commandment from around us, preachers and teachers, missionaries saying, go, go, go. But there's a message from below saying, go too. Go tell them. Don't let them come here. Now, what happened to this man to make him say that? Well, the first thing that happened is he realized, I'm never getting out of here. The first thing that he wanted to do is listen, he's like everybody else. Listen, we are born selfish people. You understand that, right? Everyone understands that. Selfishness is something you have to fight. Selfishness is something we have to overcome. We are born. It's inbred in us. All we think about is ourselves. You say, oh, preacher, that can't be so. You work in the nursery next Sunday morning, and then you come see me. Those little children, and yes, I mean those little darling children of yours, those little darling grandchildren of mine, and when mine were children, small, they were just as selfish as your children. Selfish. Mine! That's one of the first words that a child learns. Mine! Mine! But they never want it until they see another child want it. And then that's when they really want it. Am I right? You know what I'm talking about? Amen. Mine! Mine! Boy, I tell you, that is in our hearts and all. If we're not careful, all we'll think about is our little group. Amen. Me and my wife, Joe and his wife, us four, no more. Amen, preacher. Nine. What about those people outside that circle that have never heard about Jesus? What about those people outside of that realm that do not know how to get to heaven? Oh, listen, it would stun you. It would shock you to know how many people in just a 50-mile radius of this church right here have, listen, do not know how to get to heaven. You say, but preacher, we live in a place where the Bible is preached, and we live in a place where there's freedom of religion. I said, listen, try me, prove me. Begin to ask people, tell me now, how do you get to heaven? They'll say, well, I think a man's got to be good to go to heaven. I'm telling you, that's not the way to get to heaven. God says that's not the way you get to heaven. So tell me, sir, what must you do to have your sin forgiven? Well, I think you have to keep the Ten Commandments. I'm telling you, that's not how you get your sins forgiven. Listen to me. The Bible over and over and over again says that they don't know. They're in blindness. They're deceived. There's a world around us that though you might think, well, I know how to get to heaven, and my preacher preaches it Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You may go to a church where your preacher preaches it Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Yet there are people all around us that do not know how to go to heaven. They don't know how to get there. And that's just here in this wonderful country called America. Can you see the smoke ascending from the tents of 1,000 tribes on the backside of Africa, where one white man has never been, where nobody's ever going to tell those souls about Jesus Christ? Can you see those that are steeped in atheism and communism in China and Russia? Can you see them in North Korea? Can you see them, brethren, that they have no idea who Jesus is? They've never heard the name of Jesus. They've never owned the Bible. They do not know that God loves them and that He sent His Son to die for them. Those people, if they do not hear of Christ and they do not repent of their sin, you hear me, their blood is going to be on many people's hands. And Ezekiel, God said, listen to me, son of man. He said, if that... there's wicked men out there, and if you don't go and warn that wicked man of his wicked way, that wicked man will die in his sin. He said, but his blood will I require at your hands. It's real. You look in this account of the scripture, and you find that in hell, in verse number 23, this man lift up his eyes, being in torments. Oh, how the devil has so deceived and so misled people to where they think, oh, I'm going to hell and it's going to be a party. I'm going to hell and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. You're going to cry for mercy. You're going to writhe in pain. Listen to me. You're going to be in torment. The Bible says that this man lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And I want you to underline a word in your Bible. And the Bible says, and he said, that's not what the Bible says. Let's read what the Bible says. Look at it. And he cried and said. See, sometimes if we're not careful when we read that passage of Scripture, we'll just read it like he said. Like there's just this casual conversation going on between two men in eternity. Oh no, brethren. This man was in anguish. This man was in torment. And can I tell you, it didn't have to be. Man doesn't have to go to hell. The Bible says in Matthew 25, 41 that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Every man that has gone to hell went there as an intruder. And yet every man that goes to hell goes because he's rejected God's love gift, Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he cried in verse number 24 and said, Father Abraham, watch it now, have mercy. Underline this word. On me. 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 There are multitudes of people in hell, and here's this man dying in eternity like he lived. Me. 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 Get me out of here. Kind of sounds like that man, that thief on the cross. Selfishness, pride, arrogancy. I think some folks think, well, I don't smoke, and I don't drink, and I don't chew, and I don't run around. I'm okay. You know, I can't find where this man did any of those things. I'm not saying he didn't. I don't know. I'm not saying he did. But I'm telling you this. You can be a good person and go to hell. Bad people don't go to hell. Lost people do. Good people don't go to heaven. Saved people do. Hear me, brethren. Please. It's real. Are you like me? Do you need God just to kind of give you a swift kick and say, hey, son, it's real. He's grab you and shake you. Wake up, Dale. Wake up. They're going to hell, son. Time is short. Jesus is coming. Judgment is sure. Sin is deadly. And if a man dies in his sin, he will die and go to hell. Wake up and tell them, son, I've done all I can do. Now I send you. Go tell them. Go to where they are, that they will not go to where he was. Go tell them, son. Sometimes we just need to be shaken. We forget. This is real. It's real. You say, preacher, you don't scream and get all beside yourself. Brethren, it's real. We got to get urgent about this. Somebody's got to wake up. Hey, 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 somebody's got to shake us. Wake up. Wake up. Going to church three times a week and claiming a life verse and doing a little something in the church, that's not going to keep people out of hell. We got to go to where they are. This man will tell you how you do it. Let's look at what he said. Look at it. He cried, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Now, for sake of time, I'm going to skip some things, but I do want to point them out to you. There's a lot of things in hell that needs to get our attention. First of all, the Bible says, and if you'll notice in verse number 23, that there was a distance. There's this separation. See, that's what hell really is. It's a separation from God in the bottomless pit, in outer darkness, in eternal fire. He said that he seeth Abraham afar off. I tell you, I think sometimes we've forgotten what it is to be separated from God, we who are saved. He goes on to say in verse number 25, Abraham said, that's not going to happen, son. You're not going to get any mercy. You say, but preacher, God is merciful. Oh, how well I know this. And if you're here today and you've got breath in your lungs and air in your body, you know God is merciful. But I'm going to tell you, hell is a place void of God's mercy. There'll be no mercy in hell. None. He said, no, you're not going to get any mercy. And then when he found out, in verse number 26, he said, beside this, not only are you not going to get any mercy, but you're going to be here forever. He said, beside this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. Underline or highlight that word. It's over. You die without Jesus, it's over. So what about purgatory? There is no such thing as purgatory. To be absent from the body, if you're saved, will be present with the Lord. If you're not, your body will be buried like this man's was in verse number 22. And in hell, verse number 23, you will lift up your eyes. Now hear me this morning. It's very real. He said, there's a great gulf fixed. And here's why. Look at verse 26. So that they which would pass from hence to then to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. It's done. It's over. You've sealed your eternal destiny. My heart is divided when I read verses like that. There's a part of me that weeps. There's a part of me that's very sad. But then there's another part of my heart that says, thank you, Jesus. God, I'm so undeserving. I could be there. I was a fool, Lord. A fool. Thank you, God, that you manifested yourself to me. A fool and a rebel. God, you had mercy on me in this life so that I would not have to cry out for mercy in hell in the next life. God, I want to thank you for that. And yet I also want to realize that there's some that have not seen the light. And they're waiting on their pat. Who's that, preacher? That's the name of the man who led me to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'll never forget him. Never. Who led you to Christ? Who is that person that you can thank? Oh God, thank you that they cared enough to tell me. Is there somebody that you can point to and say, thank you, God, that they cared enough to tell me? If you're saved, there's somebody. But I wonder if there's somebody that could point to you and say, thank you, God, he told me. Thank you, she told me, God. Thank you, they cared enough to tell me. And now I'm not going to hell. God, thank you. Rather, that's what this is all about. If we ever lose sight that that's what church is about, we're done as a church. We're done. What good is the church if we can't get people in it? And I don't mean a building, I mean the body. The body. The Bible goes on to say, verse number 27, then, there's another word to underline or highlight. Once he realized, I'm done, I'm here forever. I'm not getting out of here. Now all of a sudden, he's no longer selfish. And his concern and his attention turned to others. And this will be our final section to look over, so I want you to pay very close attention here. Please don't miss this. Here's a message from hell now. He's calling out to you. Listen carefully. You'll hear him. Because he's calling you. You say, but God hasn't called me to go to China, preacher. Well, maybe. Maybe not. God hasn't called me to go to South Africa, preacher. God hasn't called me to go to Greece or Mexico or Spain. Okay. But I'll tell you something God has called you to do. Warn the wicked man of his way. Go tell him. Go tell him. How many did you tell last week? How many got warned by you last week? You say, oh, preacher, I love Jesus. I love people, preacher. Do we? Well, I tell you, talk's cheap now. I'm talking to myself, too. Talk's cheap. Do we really love them? How many people passed right on by us and just went right on by? We never mentioned one thing about heaven, hell, Jesus, sin, eternity. See, we're thinking someone else is going to do it when God has called us to do it. And so here's what he said. Then he said, prayer requests from heaven. We're taking prayer requests this morning. Here's one from hell. Here's a prayer request from hell. I pray thee, therefore, since I can't get out of here, that's what the word therefore, since there's a gulf fixed and I can't get any help, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Notice what he said now. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. What's he saying? He's saying, God, would you send him to them that they would not come to me? I don't want them in hell. I don't want them here. Please, send him. God, send him to tell him. Send him. No wonder William Booth said, if I could just uncover hell, I wouldn't send them to the theological seminaries. I'd just let these men look at hell and they'd run out telling people about Jesus and flee the wrath to come. You know what the Church of Jesus Christ needs? We need a fresh look at what this book that I have before me, which is the Word of God, says about hell. People that die in their sin will die in their sin and go there, brethren. And it's very real. And that could be a family member, a neighbor, a fellow laborer, a co-worker, a school teacher, an acquaintance, even an enemy. You don't want anybody to die and go to hell, not if you know anything about it. He said, I pray, would you send him? Look at verse 27. Send him. Send him, for I have five brethren, and I don't want them to come here. Abraham said unto him, look at verse 29. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them, underline that word, hear. I think somehow we've got this idea that what the church needs is something new. We need a phenomena. We need to do stand-up miracles. Listen to me. We need the people to see something. See something miraculous. We need people to see some phenomena. Now, what we need is for people to hear the Word of God. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hide it in your heart. Sow that seed when you're out there in the public. Give them the Word of God. Give them the Word of God. Give them the Word of God. Why? Because that Word is going to produce faith. And for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So, he said, they'll hear them. And then he said, nay, Father Abraham, verse number 30, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. See? Something extraordinary. Some dead man speak to them. Some crippled man walk. And some, you know, listen, I believe in miracles. You won't meet a preacher that believes in miracles more than this preacher. I've witnessed miracles. I am a miracle. God saved me. Amen. If you're saved, you are a miracle. But that's not what this world needs to see. We don't need to have miracle campaigns. We need to have preaching. We need God's people to get on fire and start going out telling people about Jesus Christ. Abraham said in verse 31, and he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. God's chosen a way for people to get saved. And that's through the Word of God that produces faith in what the record says about God's Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 11, and this is the record, that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the life, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. That's the message. That's the record. Hell is real. Preacher, why do we have missions conference? Why do we have missions revival? Why do we have faith promise? What are these flags doing here? These are people we have partnered with around the world that are doing something very similar to what took place here this morning. They're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somewhere, maybe a small group of Chinese people in an underground church in the basement of some believer over in China, Taiwan. It may be a bigger group of people in Argentina where a church is organized and there's a structure set up just like what's here. And people got up and sang like you heard songs today. And they sang congregationals. And a man of God got up and preached in their native tongue and told them about this same Jesus that I've talked to you about today. And warned them about the same place that I've spoke to you about today. See, we want to be involved in God's program, getting people the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because people who die without Jesus will die in their sin and go to hell. You say, now, preacher, at our church, we don't do it the way you do it. Well, you know, I think we've gotten so... Listen, and I'm going to close with this, but listen to me carefully, please. We have gotten so caught up. I'm for doing things right. I'm not for the ecumenical movement. You can say amen. I'm not for, listen, everybody yoking up. I believe in ecclesiastical separation. I believe in personal separation. I believe in sanctification. Holy living. But I think we've gotten so caught up in crossing our T's and dotting our I's like everyone else that we've forgotten the mission of the church is missions. We need to be getting people saved. Amen? If we're not careful, boy, we'll be out there fighting this and fighting that instead of fighting the enemy in order to get the sinner saved. Amen. The devil will have us so distracted and so caught up in life's problems and fighting and all this drama that we haven't witnessed to one poor lost sinner all week. And then we come to church and say, where's the joy in the church? The joy is missing from the church because those cries of newborn babes are no longer being heard. And I'm not talking about from the nursery. The cries of the babes in the sanctuary should be louder than the cries of the babes in the nursery. Somebody agree with me and say amen. But it seems like the only cries we're hearing in our churches today is from the nursery and their natural cries. We need to be hearing some spiritual cries of those newborn babes saying, oh, I'm glad I'm saved. Thank you for coming by, preacher. Thank you, sir, for coming by. Thank you, ma'am, for coming by and sharing the gospel with me. Oh, this is great. I never knew it'd be this wonderful. You say, preacher, would that happen to me? If you're saved, it has happened to you. And if you're not, it can happen to you. Would you be saved today? Let's all stand to our feet. Now listen, if you're here today, you may be a church member. I don't know. You may be a member of this church. But don't you think now, I'm secure because of church membership. No, don't. Now listen, I know that song that was sang today. I understand there's some things about it that don't line totally up with Scripture. But I will say this, the songwriter said, I dreamed. It was a dream, okay? He didn't try to make that real. He said it was a dream. Don't live your life thinking you're going to heaven and then die in your sin and wake up in hell. Don't do that. Nobody or no thing is worth that. If God spoke to your heart this morning about being saved, why don't you get saved? That's the primary reason I preach this message. God told me to preach this message so that there'd be one in this sanctuary this morning. Church member, you may come every service, you may come every now and then, you may not even be a member of this church, but if you're lost, and God put His finger and said, you're lost, don't fight it. Yield, submit, come to Christ and be saved. Please, I beg you. I beg you, we'll rejoice with you. All of heaven will rejoice with you. We'll rejoice with you. Then secondly, if you are saved, God told me to preach the message so that every believer in the building today would realize we have a responsibility to get the gospel of Jesus Christ to people. You say, well, that's what we pay you for, preacher. I'm out there telling them. But that's not what you pay me for. I don't witness to people because I'm being paid. I witness to people because the price has already been paid. Jesus paid it all. And all to Him I owe. I want everybody to experience what my heart has experienced when I came to Christ. Everybody deserves to know that full freedom of being set free by the grace of God. I want everybody to worship my Lord. I want everybody to give praise to Jesus. And the only way they're going to do that is be saved by His grace. I want you to bow your head with me just for a moment. And I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play.